Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO Peoples Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy. Cruise passengers are key to the state's economy and play a growing role in Central Florida's revenue. In this episode, Orlando Business Journal Editor-in-Chief Carolyn Gunnis invites an industry leader to share improvements and expansions that will drive growth.
A U.S. Coast Guard licensed captain, John Murray has been the chief executive officer of the Canaveral Port Authority, located in Brevard County since 2016. Under his leadership, Port Canaveral has undertaken its biggest construction project, opening a cruise terminal. It has expanded and improved five other port cruise terminals and berths to accommodate newer and larger cruise ships, launched berth renovation projects totaling over $148 million. During his tenure, the port has increased its revenue earned from operations from $77.7 million in 2015 to $190 million in 2023. Today, John and I will talk about Port Canaveral's role in the growing space program, the port's plans to increase capacity for cruises and cargo, and how it can improve the experience of 61 million or so passengers it services every year. Welcome, Captain Murray, to Florida Business Minds Podcast.
Yeah, good afternoon. Thanks for the kind invitation.
So let's get right into it. Describe the port, what it does, its structure, its business volume, and its status among Florida's ports and the world.
Well, we are a very busy port. A port is generally considered an economic engine for a community and even broader into the scope of the state itself. We have a very active cargo operation, an active cruise operation, and we also have other venues such as recreational activities like Jetty Park and restaurants and marinas. So it's a very, very busy port that a lot of people benefit from.
Thank you for that insight. So traveling has a lot of waiting built into the experience. Getting to and leaving the travel experience can set the mood. So, can you tell me, how important are the 401 and 528 roadways in moving passengers and cargo in and out of the port?
Those two roadways, well, the roadways are both critical to cargo flowing in and out and cruise guests in and out and cruise employees in and out when we have ships in port. The challenge we have is both of those roads are at capacity. There's plans for the state to expand 528 from a four-lane road to six lanes, and the bridge that's at 401 is a drawbridge, which is functionally obsolete, and the plan is to replace that bridge at some point in the next several years. The bridge frequently can be stuck in an open position, and that creates all sorts of traffic issues for us when that happens, particularly on a busy cruise day when we have a lot of people on the road.
I see. Do you think the now confirmed Coco Brightline station, will that have any impact on moving people in the port's business?
For us, it's just another mode of transportation. We're happy for the station. We think it's going to be a great addition to our community. But the same people that are coming to the port today, maybe they're driving, maybe they take the train, maybe they fly. It's another option for them to get to the port. But we do not see any increased business at the port as a result of the train station.
Let's talk space, right? There's been a ramp up of space activity at Cape Canaveral, and the programs all have marine activity. Space Florida commissioned a war study to look at how the port can handle the marine needs of the space industry. Do you have any insight into that?
Well, the way the commercial operators are running these days, and SpaceX being the first and Blue Origin's right behind them, is they will recover their boosters offshore on a platform. And the reason they do that instead of just flying back to land is when you launch something into space, it's all a matter of how high does it have to go and how heavy is the object you're launching. So the heavier and the higher it goes, the more fuel you consume. So that on the heavier launches, they just can't fly those boosters back to land. Now, sometimes like the space station, all those boosters fly back and land at Cape Canaveral Space Force. But if it's a heavy item that's going up or it's going high into the sky in a different orbit, they'll land offshore because they don't have sufficient fuel on the booster. So that requires a large barge type object to land on. And SpaceX has a couple of those. And then there's numerous recovery craft. And as long as the rockets are flying on a regular basis, they don't get trapped at the port. But when they're not flying and the vessels are at the port, it does create a congestion issue for everybody, because think of it as an airport. And if you have a plane sitting at the gate and are not loading or debarking passengers, and there's another plane out on the runway that needs to come in, and that plane's doing some sort of maintenance, or there's just nobody there to move it, it creates a lot of frustration. Well, it's the same in a seaport. If you've got a vessel alongside, it might be an idle piece of hardware for the space industry, and it's frustrating a cargo ship coming in to discharge its cargo, then that creates problems. So it's a balancing act for us. The whole reason for the wharf study is that if you take all of the launch service providers that are out there today and you add up the assets that they say they're going to bring to Port Canaveral for recovery operations, we don't have enough space. So the wharf study was commissioned in the mindset that if it can't be Port Canaveral, what's the solution?
Do you see any solutions?
There's some solutions. They'll involve federal partners and a lot of money, but that's just the solution. The wharf study is supposed to be published sometime very soon. It was supposed to be published on the 29th of February, but it's been held back for a few weeks. So hopefully that'll be out soon and we can all be talking about it.
And in the interim, do you have any capital projects on tap that can ease some of this congestion that you're talking about?
Nothing that will relieve that. We have our last berth that was obsolete just because of a couple of things with the original design, protruded too far into the navigable channel. So that is being rebuilt. That'll be completed by October of this year. And then there is no more developable parcels of bulkhead or waterfront in Port Canaveral at that point. So we are very tight on space, and Blue Origin is expected to start bringing their maritime assets in the next 2 months. So we will have lots of space traffic in the port in addition to our normal crews and cargo activities.
So no solutions for space, but how about capacity otherwise at the port?
Well, we've got two new parking garages that are under construction. As we move to the fall season, we will have two new cruise lines here that have never home ported at Port Canaveral, namely Celebrity Cruises and Princess Cruises. One of them will be at the north side of the port. We also have a new Disney vessel arriving in December. So we already recognize that we need more parking capacity on the north side of the port. So we have two new parking garages under construction, which will add approximately 3,000 more spaces to the parking at the port, ready by October as well.
And so for those of who are interested in doing business with the port, how could they tap into that in the short term and long term?
It's all available on our website. And just go to portcanaveral.com, and there's a whole section there on doing business with the port and how to approach the port and bid on anything that we might have for bid and any other permits and all to work at the port. So it's all right there on our website.
Okay. And what are you looking for usually?
It depends. We've got numerous projects. Sometimes it's a paving project. Sometimes it's a construction project, building. At some point, we're going to be looking for a new cruise terminal that we're going to need to build in the next several years. So that'll be a project that'll be posted on our website. Everything's done publicly. And the probably one that's coming up this year will be a marina operator. So we're looking at improving some of the site work over in our marina district. So we'll be looking for an operator. We'll be bidding that out on a proposal.
Next, Captain John Murray shares the challenge in diversifying Port Canaveral when Florida Business Minds continues. People's Gas, working with businesses across Florida to lower energy usage and costs with efficient natural gas. Get cashback energy conservation rebates when you install new natural gas equipment. Learn more at peoplesgas.com/bizrebates.
Let's talk money. So about 80% of the port's revenue comes from cruises. After the global pandemic, what have you learned? And is there a plan for further diversification of revenue streams at the port?
The challenge that we have for diversifying the revenue stream is we are in Central Florida. Most of the cargo ports are in South Florida or Jacksonville. Jacksonville has two Class I railroads, which are critical to certain types of cargo activity, and South Florida is a consumer market. So the ships are always going to be at those ports for containerized business. Where we excel is in the what we call the bulk and break bulk materials. So it's aggregates and lumber and products that don't easily fit in ocean containers. We welcome here at Port Canaveral. It's all market driven. And, you know, as long as we can deliver cargo at a lesser price than any of the other ports that'll flow over Port Canaveral. As far as the cruise industry, it's hard to diversify from the cruise industry because we are the northernmost port in Florida that can make the 3 and 4 day trips to the Bahamas, which is a sweet spot for the cruise lines to turn the ships twice a week. And if you get up to Jacksonville, now you're in a 4 day market, and you go further north, you're approaching a weekly market. So we, between us, Port Everglades and Miami, we're the three ports that thrive on the 3 and 4 day turns. You know, as long as we can do that and do it productively and efficiently, then the cruise lines will continue to make Port Canaveral home.
Speaking of making Port Canaveral home, you mentioned you were getting two new ones, but what cruise line would you like to dock at the port, but you don't have right now?
I can't say that there is one. I think we have participation from all of the major brands. And at this point in time, we are pretty much tapped out for new opportunities. All six terminals are busy. We have one terminal next winter. We'll have a ship alongside 6 days a week. And that's a lot of traffic. It's hard just to keep the maintenance and upkeep on the terminals when you have a ship alongside almost every day. So all of our terminals are getting to that point. Very high utilization, which is a good thing.
Yes, sounds like capacity is a big thing at the Cape. What's next for the port? Anything else going on that we haven't talked about?
Well, the big thing is our next cruise terminal. We're calling that Cruise Terminal 4. And we look to have that probably built out by 2027 is our target. We'll do it sooner if we can do it sooner. But there are a lot of other port tenants involved in the process. So it's a methodical and time-consuming effort to get the location freed up for that terminal. So that's what we're working on this year and probably into the early part of next year, is just to get everything ready so we can break ground and start construction.
And how big will that facility be?
You know, it's a good question because you talk about what have we learned post-pandemic. During the pandemic or up to the pandemic, you know, the cruise lines have always been traditional businesses, paper tickets, travel agents, an old format. And then once the pandemic hit and everyone was looking at how can we do it better, smarter, everything started to go paperless. Same with customs and border protection. Instead of standing in line with your passport and waiting to hand your passport over to the agent, they've all gone with facial recognition. So the whole speed of boarding a ship and departing a ship has increased. And what that means is you don't have people going into a cruise terminal and sitting there for 2 or 3 hours waiting to board because no one can get on the ship until the debarking passengers have cleared and they have what they call a zero count on the ship that everyone's been accounted for. Now they can start embarking. That happens much faster now than it did before the pandemic. Even with the larger ships, frequently the ship will come in, they'll start debarking at seven and they're finished. They're empty. A big 5,000 passenger ship can be empty in 2.5, 3 hours. It's amazing how quickly that happens. So our next terminal, while it'll be capable of handling the largest cruise ships in the world, it's probably not going to have the same seating capacity inside as some of our larger terminals today, just because it's not necessary in this post-COVID environment.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you for downloading Florida Business Minds, presented by the Business Journals of Florida. Brought to you by TECO Peoples Gas, at the heart of Florida's energy.